There is a wide range of opinion among the leaders of the world today as to really what the true condition of the world is. And there is a varied opinion as to just what the prospects for the future are. They range from high optimism to low pessimism. In spite of the alarming symptoms that unmistakably show that there is a deep-rooted disease eating away at man and his society, yet there are some who still see that there's nothing wrong, basically, that is, with the world, they say. But it's rather a healthy state, all this unrest and so forth that we see. And given time, things will gradually improve. Alas, one is made to really become amazed at such folly, such reasoning. We can only understand it as being that which comes from the natural heart of man that does not have the knowledge of God and His Word. But more than that, how true it is, as the Word declares, that a man who closes his eyes to God's Word becomes a dupe of the arch rival of God, the enemy of man, the devil himself. And how successful has the devil been to accomplish what is his purpose? His purpose is to deny Christ his place and to have authority and sway over men whom he hates. He is directly opposed to all God's purposes and to God's plan concerning you, dear listening friend. And just how successful Satan has been is seen, as error is developing all around us with such rapid strides. And the apostasy of which the Scripture speaks is developing so swiftly. And when I say the apostasy, I mean the turning away from the truths of the Bible that were nominally held at least by many, giving them up, denying Christ as deity, denying God, denying the Spirit of God, denying the devil, if you will. Yes, denying the Word of God itself. Is there any wonder that the world is such as it is today? There is no wonder. God is the one who gives a diagnosis of this, and the sooner that we would bow to His diagnosis and take His remedy, the better we would be. Surely it would be better for the whole world. But I desire to narrow your thinking not simply to within the scope of the world today, but down to your very own self. You, dear listening friend, have a soul that is going to be either lost or saved forever. And you have to do with God. And He wants you to realize that He has to do with you. And He who loves you knows all about you. He is the one who diagnoses what your trouble is and what your future prospects are. You are wise if you listen to Him. I desire today, with the help of God, to turn you to His Word. Therein do we find the correct, the true, the only proper evaluation of what your condition is. And I wonder if you've ever faced this. Are you aware of what you are in the sight of God? Or are you blinded to it? Are you willingly ignorant? Have you ever stopped to think what God has said? Perhaps you are one who, when faced sometimes with the fact that you are a sinner, you like to put that in the back of your mind and put it away from your thoughts, and you would have some animosity against anyone that would point the finger at you. It may be done in love, and yet you feel guilty and don't want to own up to it. This is common to all of us. We have a heart that responds like this. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no difference. Now, whether we believe what God says about us or not, what His diagnosis is or not, whether we believe it or not, doesn't change the fact one iota. you close your eyes to the sun, you don't stop the sun from shining. You'll be in the dark. If you close your eyes to the truth of God of what you are, you'll be the loser. God would have you look at yourself as he sees you, so that you might admit it, acknowledge it, and repent to him. If you don't, you will perish. If you do and repent, he has a remedy for you. It is the whole desire of God that through his word you might come to know what you are and what he has done for you because of what you are. Will you turn with me today to the third chapter of Romans? The Apostle Paul, as led of the Spirit of God, depicts for us in this chapter what we are. I know of nothing more important to preach today than the fact that man is a ruined, lost creature because of sin. He is helpless. He is hopeless without God and without Christ. He needs to realize this. And more than ever in this age in which we're living, when God consciousness is decreasing as it is, and everything is materialism, everything is man and his pride, his endeavors. I want that you would get your Bible if you can, please. Turn to the third chapter of Romans with me and let us see what God says we are. Whether you are a Jew or whether you are a Gentile, and I have no doubt that both are listening today, somewhere on one of our stations, in these few moments with a book. In verse 9 we read, "Then are we better than they?" Paul writes as a Jew. He says, "No, in no wise. For we have before proved," and that is in the previous chapters, 1 and 2 of Romans, "both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin." Now this is what God says. All under sin. This is more than simply being just guilty. It is more the thought of being under quarantine, so to speak, that the whole human race is under the quarantine of sin. This is what is true of you, and you're part of the human race. You and I are part of this. This is true of us. And then from verse 10 down to 18, he brings out 14 horrible things. Things that we don't like to think about. That is, about ourselves. Oh, we can quickly see these things in other people very clearly. But God wants us to realize that these are true of every single one of us by nature, and this is how God sees us. The first six of them set forth a general state of sin in which we all are by nature and by practice. As it is written, and that remark by Paul shows that this is not just simply what has been revealed through him, but throughout the Old Testament scriptures, this truth is declared, as God was always seeking to show man what his sin had done in order to awaken him to his need, that he might turn to him in repentance and in faith. The first thing he says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." None righteous before God, that is. Not one. This is the state of every one. No one righteous before God. And it's God before you have to stand, with whom you have to do. He takes account of your unrighteousness. How do you stand? You have to give account to him. Next, "There is none that understandeth." And the thought is, there's none that understandeth, naturally, the things of God, the divine things. Man is blinded to it. No man knoweth the things of God save the Spirit of God. And if a man doesn't have the Spirit of God, he's not born of God, he doesn't understand the things of God. And that's why he needs to be born anew, born again. "There is none that seeketh after God." How true this is. Man doesn't seek after God, just like in the Garden of Eden. After man had sinned, the first man, Adam, when he sinned, He fled from God's presence, and God had to seek him and say, Adam, where art thou? God has to seek you, and he is seeking you. By nature, none of us would seek God. Well, you might say, what about the heathen? They have their religion, and they offer their sacrifices. Yes, but in 1 Corinthians 10, don't forget, it says there, the sacrifices of the heathen are to demons and not unto God. The heathen have turned their back on God, and they worship the creature. They're in the influence of demons. The Bible says they worship demons. Next, we notice it says, they are all gone out of the way. The thought is here that they have abandoned the way of God. Man has turned from God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have willfully gone away from God. Sin causes us to do this. In fact, we are born on that broad way that leads the wrong way away from God. And you notice again, there is no exception. They are all gone out of the way of God. Next, you'll notice it says, they are together become unprofitable. Oh, how unprofitable the world is, the sinner is to God. How useless. In fact, this word rendered unprofitable here is used in classical Greek for rotten fruit. Every housewife knows how useless rotten fruit is. This is, however, what God chooses to use to describe the condition of man by nature. Unprofitable. Have you ever thought of that? That's what you are in God's sight now. This is true, just as true as God himself. God says, as Paul writes, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. That's some statement. Give heed to it. Think of it as we read the remaining description. In verse 12, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. That is the practicing of good. What is that which characterizes men? Is it love or is it hatred? You know what it is. Here you have man describe that which characterizes him. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now the next two verses gives us the aspects of sin in regards to man's words. You know, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And to begin with, he says here about man, his throat is an open sepulcher, that which houses the dead bones of a body. The throat is an open sepulcher, the sepulcher of the heart, that cesspool of evil because of sin. You know, when the doctor comes to diagnose, he usually looks in to check your tongue and your throat. You can tell the state of your bodily condition. And thus God, the great physician, checks into our throat, and he can see what our condition is. Deceitful, above all things, incurably wicked. Tongues, they have used deceit, lying, deceitfulness. That's what Jeremiah says. The heart is deceitful above all things and incurably wicked. Man's throat, man's speech indicates this. Out of the abundance of the heart, again I say, the mouth speaketh. And then you notice how cruel, how damaging are man's words and sin. The poison of asps is under their lips. Oh, how much damage has been done with man's speaking. Unadvisedly with his lips, in hatred. You know, it's not only the sword that kills, but words of men can kill. And the capacity for this is seen in every single human being, you and me by nature. And next, you notice whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. All we have to do is to prove this is to just go out in the company of people and just open your ears, those you work next to, those you ride to work with. Go down the street, and you'll find out what comes out of man's heart, cursing and bitterness. Isn't this true? You know it is true. And your heart is capable of producing the same thing. God knows it. Next, you'll notice in the few verses following, takes up the deeds of men. And God looks upon man and his history. It says, their feet are swift to shed blood. What a history that is that man has as we look back and see from the beginning of time. Blood has flowed through violence, through corruption, and is still today in an increasing way. In the days of Noah, with such an extent that God came in and judged the world. And he says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. With the increase of this all around us, oh, how man is showing himself and inviting the judgment of God soon to fall. Destruction and misery are in their ways. History proves this. For a time being, a city and a country flourishes, and yet sin brings its destruction and its misery. Apply this into your home, into your family. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Next, you notice it says, and the way of peace have they not known. Man has never known the way of peace because he has turned from God. That is, man generally, man without God, without Christ, without hope. He's without peace. There is peace in him. But the way of peace have they not known. And then what is really basic to it all, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, to fear God consists in having a sense of what is due to him. That is, to his majesty, his holiness, his justice, his goodness. And if we have the fear of God, we shall be thoroughly fearful to offend him. Is this true in the part of men generally today? No. Man will fear men. And yet he will curse God and have no fear of God. This is characteristic. This is the picture that God paints. It's not a bright one, is it? But I feel it's a necessary one to bring before us today. This is the diagnosis God gives, and that's why God says we must be born again. The remedy is very simple. The remedy is to turn to him in repentance. The remedy is not to seek to turn over new leaves and do better. You cannot. You have no strength. And it's not by the deeds of the law. We're all guilty. The only remedy for guilt is the Lord Jesus Christ and his atoning death. We can be justified freely, that is, without any cost to us, by his grace, unmerited favor, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God wants that you should have this today, and you may. But I feel that the Lord would have you face what you are, what we all are by nature, and in spite of it realize this, that God loves you, and you may have forgiveness, you may have blessing, by turning in simple repentance to him, admitting your condition, and accepting Christ as the substitute who died for you. You do this, you shall be justified, cleared from all guilt, by faith. May God bless his word.